Okay. Whoa, I don't know what happened. There we go. All right. Somebody tell me something that disgusts them.
The word moist.
The word moist. Okay. Yes, you can go. Odd numbers disgust you? Okay, I can. Okay. Homosexuals. Okay. When they overpronounce a word. Okay. Okay. So basically, basically, we're all familiar with the feeling of disgust in some way, shape, or form. Yes? Yes. So when something grosses us out, we're likely to look away or step away or even run away at sometimes, depending on what it is. The sight of needles maybe not disgusts me, but yeah, that's kind of my reaction. It's like, hey, here's what's going to happen. Either I'm going to look away or you're going to be staring at me on the floor. So I just... Oh, I was like, what? So, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud, but answer honestly, okay? Deep down, to yourself, who disgusts you? Maybe you've never thought about this before. Maybe you've actually never even given actual time to this. But deep down, who is it that disgusts you? Don't answer it. Not out loud. Okay? Maybe it's somebody whose politics don't line up with yours. Definitely not. Okay, Sarah says no. Maybe it's the guy that's dating the girl of a different skin color.
No, that's definitely not it.
Okay. Maybe it's the person in your school whose family makes way more money than yours does. Or maybe it's the one that makes way less. Maybe because they can't afford deodorant. That might have been mine in school. Or maybe it's the girl in your class that's sexually active. No. I said don't answer. Y'all don't listen.
Well, we're not saying names.
Oh, okay. What's the question? Who disgusts you? Don't answer it out loud, okay? Like, we would not appreciate if you said Sarah's name out loud to us, okay? We would not. So, the truth of the matter is we're all guilty of this in some way, shape, or form. There's somebody that disgusts us. When someone's different than us or makes decisions that we don't necessarily agree with, that creates feelings that can sometimes lead to disgust. That disgust can sometimes lead to hate. So, again, let's be honest. Who disgusts us? Who would you prefer not to talk to, not to hear from, not to be around, not to be the same air, not to touch? Who would you consider to be untouchable?
Miss Davis?
I feel like this message must have been primed for what happened tonight.
I feel like
God in his infinite sovereignty knew that Sarah was going to discover today that she did not make cast lists and was going to be disgusted by somebody and needed to hear this.
No, I just hate Miss Davis.
So,
she doesn't disgust me. We're way past that point.
Today, we're going to talk about a story of a man who was despised. Pretty much exactly the same thing. We're going to talk about a story about a man who the people around him were disgusted by him. We're going to talk about a guy in the Bible who was a tax collector.
Zacchaeus.
Okay. So, yes, it was Zacchaeus. But why? So Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Why was he hated?
Because he was a tax collector.
Okay. Normally, tax collectors were seen as Roman sympathizers. Okay. They were Jews that went to the Romans and said, hey, let us collect taxes.
We need money.
And usually what they would do is the Romans would say, okay, we want a 10% tax. And they'd say, great. And then they'd go to you and say, I need your 20% tax. They were scammers. So the crowd doesn't like them. Okay? So we're going to Luke 19. That's where we're going to be. Okay? That's what that little book in front of you is for and there and two-thirds of the way. 6:31. Okay.
6:30, sorry.
You know what my hope is one day? That legitimately, that we can't give out page numbers because everybody's got their own Bible and they're like all different, and so we don't have that capability anymore. Okay, so again, there's all sorts of reasons why Zacchaeus was rejected, so we're going to take a little deeper look. Starting in verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road for when Jesus was going to pass that way. I wonder if the crowd intentionally made it hard for Zacchaeus to get to Jesus. Like, what happens when a fight breaks out at school?
People crowd
around. Everybody crowds around. Okay. Why do they crowd around?
Because they don't want Jesus to come.
Okay, you know what else? The other reason they do this? No. You almost, to keep the teachers
I
from seeing.
That.
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. But yeah, everybody wants to see, and then they got to keep the principals, the teachers, the administrators out. I wonder if this was the same way. I wonder if, because they hated Zacchaeus, they're like, you don't need Jesus. What does that have to do with anything that we're talking about right now? Oh, wait, because they disgust you.
Yes!
Got it. Oh, my goodness. So, I wonder this. I wonder this. Have we ever been like the crowd?
Yes.
Have we ever allowed our actions to get in the way, our disgust to get in the way of somebody else seeing or meeting Jesus? But does your disgust for Miss Davis keep her from seeing the Jesus inside you?
Yes, I did. And I wore my Bible verse braces,
but I don't have all. But like you said, she already knows that you disgusted with her.
No, she doesn't know that yet.
Oh, but you're going to make sure she knows tomorrow.
Yes.
Is that going to stop her from seeing the Jesus inside of you?
That'll make me feel better. And Jesus is all about making people feel better. And then she can forgive me because Jesus is all about forgiving people.
Except one major hole in the circle of Jesus is all about making you feel better. So, as much as you may not want to admit it, Mariah's right.
Mariah, shut up. You can go in that hole, too.
No.
You can't say that to Mariah.
I love you, Mariah. Hold her, not your friend.
You're not allowed to be mean to Mariah.
I wasn't being mean to Mariah. I'm sorry.
She says she can go in there, not that she has to die in there.
Yeah. She could be the one helping me. That'd be a good deed. Okay, can you continue?
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Got it.
Just for a little bit, though.
Okay.
Can you say something else I can talk about? Pray for. I'm just kidding. I love you.
Hey, I just ghosted my dad, and then I had to forgive him, and then he forgave me.
So, Miss Davis's reaction is not your responsibility.
Can we please just not say her name? Like, what about Miss Dingleberry or something like that?
This teacher's reaction is not your responsibility. What is your responsibility is what you do.
But Miss Dingleberry is not very fun to be around.
Okay.
And she's all in her crying sadness. I just love you so much. And then when she criticizes us, she's like, I love you very deeply. With her nasty smile. You guys suck. She told me that once. And then she told Cameron he was a poison. And then she called Jacob.
Adding to my disgust list real quick. Hang on.
I just want to point out that Sarah prayed that they would talk less and listen more. I'm just pointing that out. When did I pray that? Right before you said
yeah,
it.
You prayed that.
Just saying. You did pray that. I did pray that?
Yeah.
And I think y'all I didn't.
Everybody leave.
They left. I'm going to do this.
So, Miss Davis is Miss Davis is not very nice. Miss Davis is disgusting to you. Miss Davis is mean to you. So your answer is to return that anger and that frustration. All right, let's stay right there for just a minute. So, similar concept. The crowd is disgusted with Zacchaeus. So they do everything in their power to keep him from Jesus. Here's how Jesus responds. In verse 5, he says, "When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. 'Zacchaeus,' he said, 'quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today.' Zacchaeus came, quickly climbed down, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy." So Jesus doesn't respond in disgust. He doesn't respond with despisement. Instead, he invites him to go to his house. Why would he do something like that? Okay. Jesus wasn't disgusted by Zacchaeus' choices, by his past, by his decisions, or by his reputation. Jesus chose to be around him because he knew that Zacchaeus needed a change. So let's watch what happens. Verse 7, the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. So the crowd's mad because Jesus is hanging out with those who are disgusted. Verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. So what happened? Jesus responded. Okay. What happened in the house?
Zacchaeus was validated as a person, so he believed God.
He repented and changed his lifestyle. Okay. Verse 9, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. For Jesus, this was a whole lot more about dinner. And it was more than just a meal. He came because Zacchaeus needed change. He came because Zacchaeus needed something different. So I bring this situation back. Remember I said, let's hold right here. So here then lies my question. Does Miss Davis need Jesus? If she has Jesus, why is she acting this way? Then obviously there's some problem there. Is responding with more disgust, more hatred, more anger adding to her problem or helping to fix it?
I think she just needs to retire.
But that's not your choice. So is your anger, your disgust, your frustration adding to her problem or making it worse?
Making it worse and adding are the same thing. So both.
Okay, aiding her problem. Sorry, fixing it, helping it. So if you went in and responded to Miss Davis the way Jesus responded to Zacchaeus, is there a chance maybe she sees Jesus in you and decides to be better? If your answer is no, then I feel bad for whoever your God is, because he's not bigger than a human. So Miss Davis is more powerful than God, is what you're telling me. So if obviously God can change people, that includes Miss Davis. But our continued anger, disgust, talking about isn't getting anywhere. Kindness, gentleness, prayer, those things are going to change people.
But I've been nice to her. Like, super nice. I've been nice to her. I've done things that she needed to do. She just doesn't like me.
Okay. Somebody tell me what the response was when one of the disciples asked Jesus how many times we're supposed to forgive people.
7 times 70.
Which is how many?
A lot.
Have you done it 490 times? Okay. Okay, so 100. So at bare minimum, you've got like 390 to go. But in reality, Jesus is given an analogy saying infinite number of times. So have you hit infinite?
Yes.
You've hit infinite number of times?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Feels like it.
Are we letting our disgust for people get in the way of them seeing Jesus?
No, because if she wanted to, I would freaking tell her. Yes, it is.
I think so. I understand that it's hard, but the reality of the picture is it's going to be this way for the rest of your life. There's going to be people that come in and come out, that you work with, that you live around, that you meet, that you're not going to like, love, and enjoy. And we get to make the decision to be disgusted by them, ignore them, and treat them inappropriately, or to show them Jesus. And only one of them is going to fix the situation. So, we're going to go off into small groups, where we can discuss this more, where we can dive into this a little bit deeper. So, be gone.